the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Good evening. It's great to be here this evening. As Adam said, I'm starting a series on Proverbs, and I sometimes think that our summer evening series are a bit like an expedition. So with you and the other preachers, we go on a kind of a summer expedition, which is what we're going to do through Proverbs. Now, let's imagine that this summer expedition is to the beach, and we need a beach ball. This is a beach ball. It's no ordinary beach ball. It's actually got lots and lots of questions on it. We play this sometimes in the sub-18 club, 14 to 18s. I think you also do it in Radiate. You need to. It's good fun. So the idea is I throw the beach ball out into you. You catch it, and you answer the question that one of your middle fingers is on. There are some serious questions and some silly questions. It's a beach ball, so my aim is not going to be that great, and it may not go to the people I've primed. So if you really don't want to do it, just bat it along. Okay, I think I'll do a couple on this side and a couple... You've got more chance over there, actually, because there's not many of you. Oh, no! That's too far. Bat it back, Jack. Yeah, shout out the question really loudly. Have you learnt anything new about God recently? Good answer. Sometimes you have to wait, but he does answer your prayers. Good one. If you could have any superpower, what would you choose and what would you do with it? Great. So Sarah would like to time travel, go back and see what Jesus has done. Good throw. What could you do to make the world a better place to live in? Start with your next door neighbour. Be kind to them. Do nice things for them. Okay, one more here. Would you rather lose your little finger or your mobile phone? Before Gabriel answers that, can you guess what the answer was at sub-18? There were a lot of little fingers going missing, I can tell you. Your mobile phone. He's a pianist, of course, yeah. Brilliant. Thank you for being good sports. Actually, there's one question on that ball that threw me when I was playing it with sub-18, and it's this. What one thing would you ask God to give you? And as you probably, many of you know, that's a question that God asked King Solomon. When Solomon, at the start of his reign, back in the Book of Kings, God appeared to him in a dream and God said, ask me whatever you want me to give you. And Solomon's answer was, give your servant, that's give me, a wise and discerning heart. And we're told in the Book of Kings that for much of Solomon's reign, unfortunately not right through to the end, he was incredibly wise and discerning, and God did give this to Solomon. And much of Solomon's wisdom is collected in the book of Proverbs. It's not only Solomon, many other wise men contributed to it, but we have this book of Proverbs that was written several hundred years before Christ to guide us. Do we think it's relevant to us today? Well, in answering that question, I want to look at three things. I want us to examine these three things. Is it true that we pursue wisdom because it comes from God? And there's a couple of things I want us to remember before we embark on this summer expedition. And then the second one to think about it is it true that you need to pursue wisdom, otherwise you will be a fool? And the third one is pursue wisdom, otherwise you will be seduced. So let's look at the first one. Do you think that spending time looking at a little bit of ancient Middle Eastern writing can help us? Do we really think that this book is time-honoured wisdom that can burst into our lives in the summer of 2016? We've been thinking about many of the things that are going to happen this summer. Can Proverbs help us? I think the answer is, if it's from God, then yes. the wisdom from this book can burst into our lives. With these words in front of us and God's Spirit to help us, these words can change us, guide us, comfort us. Wisdom has been defined, I quite like this phrase, as the art of living. So to live well, to be artists in your own life, wisdom is essential. And the first 9 chapters of Proverbs tell us that God is the author, the owner, and the wielder of all wisdom. Wisdom begins with God. So the art of living well involves following God's pattern, whether you acknowledge it comes from him or not. God's grace is shown to everyone, and all can benefit from his wisdom, but the source is God alone. Proverbs 10, chapter 10, verse 10 says this: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." But these first 9 chapters in Proverbs also reveal something else to us. They show us that God's wisdom, ancient wisdom, is built into the foundation of the world. You know, the sun, the stars, the atoms, the laws of physics. Wisdom isn't just a nice little extra and nice to have. It's intricately woven into the world. I love this verse. Proverbs 3, verse 19 and 20. "By wisdom the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge the deeps were divided and the clouds let drop the dew." As I've been reading Proverbs over the last few weeks and meditating on them, I have had a sense, and I hope you will have too, over this summer, of being fed with ancient wisdom. Let me give you an example. A week last Saturday, I had a birthday party. It turned out to be a much bigger affair than I originally thought, because I kept inviting people. And I really, really enjoyed it. I felt loved and blessed. It was good fun. Nobody got food poisoning. The house wasn't wrecked, despite over 50% of the partygoers were under 12. It was a good thing, and it brought me a lot of laughter. But I have to say that there was a sadness too, because this year's birthday reminded me of last year's birthday, when things weren't so easy and things weren't so great, largely due to my own fault. And a week last Saturday, I kind of felt the shadow of that. And in Proverbs 14, verse 13, we read this: "Even in laughter, the heart may ache, and joy may end in grief. That's the way of the world sometimes." And I find it really comforting to know that my God knows that. He knows that about the world. He knows that about you and me. Laughter doesn't invalidate grief, and grief doesn't invalidate laughter. We have both. God knows. And that's just one very small practical example, and it helped me be thankful to God, be thankful to my friends and my family. And I'm sure that if you join us on this summer expedition, you will find many, many more. There's a book accompanying the series by Bill Hybels. I'd really recommend it. It's called Making Life Work. And in this book, Bill Hybels says this: "Proverbs takes the ageless, priceless wisdom of God himself and makes it understandable and accessible to ordinary people like you and me." So before we start on the expedition, I think there's 2 things to remember. The first thing is this: Proverbs are proverbs, not promises. We don't read cast iron promises in this part of God's world. What we read are general rules about life, and they're guidelines for everybody. And they could be summed up like this: in general, people who are godly, moral, hardworking, and wise will reap many rewards. But that's not always true. Proverbs 28, verse 19 says, "He who works his land will have abundant food, but the one who chases fantasies will have his fill of poverty." Proverbs are proverbs, not promises. It's not cause and effect. Many farmers around the world work long and hard and barely have enough to eat. And some very, very lazy people win the lottery. But generally, we can see that if you don't plant, you don't eat. So that's the first thing to remember. The second thing to remember is that Jesus is our promise and wisdom. So Proverbs give us general rules for living, but the promises that we must cling to are those that we have in Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And Paul says in his letter to the Corinthians, "Christ Jesus has become for us wisdom from God. He's our righteousness, holiness, and redemption." Following wise proverbs is good, but it will not get us to God. That comes through the promises of Jesus. So they're the two things to remember. We need to pursue wisdom because it comes from God. And then the second thing is, we need to pursue wisdom, otherwise we will be fools. You will be a fool and I will be a fool. So let's read a chunk of Proverbs together to get a sense of this. Let's read Proverbs chapter 4. It's on page 607. We're going to read the whole chapter. So Proverbs chapter 4 is pretty much in the middle of your Bible, page 607. "Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me, and he said to me, 'Take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands, and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps won't be hampered. When you run, you won't stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way. For they cannot rest until they do evil. They are robbed of sleep till they make someone stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil." So the first 9 chapters of Proverbs don't follow the normal pattern in the rest of the book, where we have these small sentences, often couplets that either reinforce one another or they're the opposite of each other. Chapters 1 and 9 are kind of like an instruction, and they're written in warm, fatherly tones to a son. And they build the case for the lifelong pursuit of wisdom. So let's think about us. How much would more wisdom change us? How would it change you? How would it change me? Proverbs tells us that following God's instruction in the art of living brings health to our bodies and keeps us free from stumbling. We will be blessed and others will be blessed. Maybe your home would be calmer. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Maybe your work would be more rewarding and successful if you followed this. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. Proverbs 15:22. I love the next one. Maybe our bodies would be more healthy. If you find honey, eat just enough, too much of it and you will vomit. Proverbs 25:16. So these are just a few examples of many. So what would the people who are close to me, close to you, notice if you just had a tiny drop more, a milligram more of wisdom, the same wisdom and knowledge that set the earth on its axis, that created human beings? That's worth pursuing. I wonder, just if we think about the next month or so, over the summer, we've heard some prayer requests for things that people have set out to do that they want to pursue, whether it's having a fantastic holiday club or a good DCYC or all the preparation gone into events like Keswick. I wonder what you are pursuing if we just think over this summer. I'm going to show you one thing I'm pursuing this summer. Tomatoes. Pursuing doesn't necessarily have to be massively energetic. It simply means, where are we investing our time and our energy and our money? Now, I have half-heartedly tried to grow tomatoes before, but this year I am on a mission. So every evening I go out, I tend to them, I check to see if they're growing, I water them, I feed them, I prune them so the sun can get to them. I'm investing my time and energy a little bit each day to nurturing growth. And to be frank, I'm going to be very disappointed if I don't get red tomatoes really soon. It's not particularly hard work, it's rewarding. And I think the delight in Proverbs that you will find as you join us on this summer expedition is that it's easy to read. You could read a chapter every day in a few minutes. I picked a chapter at random, it was chapter 12, and I timed how long it took me to read it. I didn't read it particularly quickly or particularly slowly. It took me 2 minutes, 9 seconds. Much less time than it takes me to water the tomatoes. And the other thing is, I can pretty much guarantee you that if you take a chapter and you read it, one proverb will stick out to you and make you think. And when I read Proverbs chapter 12, this is the one that stuck out to me. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healings. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. So as I water the tomatoes, I could ask God for forgiveness for the reckless words that I've spoken that day, and pray that my words, the words on my tongue, would bring healing. Try it. I challenge you to try it. 2 minutes, that's all it takes. We pursue wisdom because we don't want to be a fool. So we know it comes from God, yes, but the other reason, pure and simple, and Proverbs is pretty blunt about this, is wisdom is worth pursuing, otherwise you will be a fool. So the opposite of wisdom is foolishness, the opposite of a wise person is a fool. Now, in the Bible, a fool is not somebody with a low IQ. Fools can be found in all walks of life with all kinds of intelligence and all kinds of background and all kinds of social status. In the Bible, a fool is someone who ignores God's wisdom, preferring to follow the crowd or their own opinions. And fools can be found all over the place. And foolish thinking, I think, can be found in all of us. It certainly can be found in me. This is any thinking that ignores God. So have a think. Where are you prone to follow your own understanding, not God's? Where are you prone to be foolish? Is it with your money? Is it with your children? Is it at work, maybe, when no one's looking? Or maybe generally you just don't put your trust in God. I think my chronic area of foolishness is relying on my own resources and judgment rather than trusting in God. and I wonder what you could say for yourself. And the thing about wisdom and folly, these chapters in Proverbs tell us, is that they call out to us all the time. So in Proverbs, wisdom and folly are represented as two women. You may have noticed that as we read Proverbs chapter 4, and they call out to us. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, do we listen to wisdom or do we listen to folly moment by moment? And which is best? Let's look at chapter 9 and you'll see what I mean. So chapter 9, turn on a few pages, page 612. I'm just going to read verses 1 and 6 first and then skip a bit. So remember, wisdom is portrayed as a woman. Wisdom has built her house. She has set up its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servants, and she calls from the highest point of the city, "Let all who are simple come to my house." To those who have no sense, she says, "Come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight." And then verse 10, "For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer." And then we'll skip on to verse 13. "Folly is an unruly woman. She is simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way, 'Let all who are simple come to my house.' To those who have no sense, she says, 'Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious.' But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead." So both wisdom and folly are calling out. But wisdom leads to life and folly leads to death. And throughout Proverbs, we see the contrast between the wise and the foolish. And the thing about foolishness is it's very easy for it to become deeply ingrained. Proverbs 26, verse 11 says, "As a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool repeats his folly." So as we make these daily decisions of following wisdom or folly, let's not be like a dog returning to his vomit. Pursue wisdom, no matter how loud folly is shouting at you. Now, these chapters 1 to 9 also give us an application. The wise father tells his son that adultery is the ultimate act of foolish, the complete demonstration of the absence of wisdom. Proverbs 6, I've got it on the screen so you don't have to turn to it. Proverbs 6, verse 20 and then 23 to 29 says this, "My son, keep your father's command. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. For these commands are a lamp, this teaching is a light, and the corrections of discipline are the way to life, keeping you from the immoral woman, from the smooth talk of the wayward wife. Do not lust in your heart after her beauty, or let her captivate you with her eyes. For the prostitute reduces you to a loaf of bread, and the adulteress preys on your very life. Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? So is he who sleeps with another man's wife. No one who touches her will go unpunished." It doesn't really need me to say much more on this. Proverbs makes it really clear, doesn't it? Don't listen to folly calling out. Now, this is written from the point of a man and a wayward woman, but the same applies the other way round to a woman and a wayward man. I've been involved in several churches over the course of my Christian life, and I've known cases of adultery in each of those churches. And in every single case, the consequences have been destructive, and they've actually been far more reaching than anyone anticipated or intended. The warning is given again in chapter 7 that what seems satisfying and exciting at first, we read these words, "I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes and cinnamon. Come, let's drink deep of love till morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love," actually leads to destruction. All at once, he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose, till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. Don't go down that road. Pursue wisdom, otherwise you will be a fool and be seduced. Proverbs can't really be any clearer. If you see your neighbour's wife over the fence and you like the cut of her blouse and you keep going back to get a glimpse as she bends over, whether she intends to or not, don't. Don't go back for a look. She's somebody else's wife. If you are married, Proverbs says to you this. It's in chapter 5, verse 18 and 19. May you rejoice in the wife of your youth, a loving doe, a graceful deer. May her breasts satisfy you always. May you be captivated by her love. Why be captivated, my son, by an adulteress? Why embrace the bosom of another man's wife? It's in your wife that you must find satisfaction. And wives, it's in your husband that you find that you must delight in. And if for whatever reason that's not going well for you at the moment, pursue wisdom. Don't be a fool. Get some advice. Talk about it. There is help out there if you choose to seek it. Don't scoop fire into your lap with a furtive ogle over the fence or a website. That's not what the God of wisdom of creation wants for you. That's not what you were made for. And it's the same if you are single. Don't go looking to be seduced. Find your satisfaction in all the other good things God gives you. Remember, nothing you desire can compare with God's wisdom. We see this in Proverbs chapter 3. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. Pursue wisdom, otherwise you will be a fool. Now, of course, Proverbs was written a couple of hundred years before Christ, and the writers of the Proverbs didn't have the privilege that we have of seeing God's great plan of wisdom in giving us Jesus. The writers of the Proverbs rightly wanted to avoid folly and shame. But what they didn't or couldn't foresee is that shame would forever be removed by Jesus when we trust in him. Remember those verses from 1 Corinthians. Christ Jesus is our wisdom from God. He's our righteousness, just our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. So the good news, a couple of hundred years after Proverbs, is there is redemption, whatever our shame is, through the wisdom of God, Jesus, our righteousness. So I wonder what one application you could think of now where wisdom would help you. What questions on that get-to-know ball might you need wisdom to answer? Now, it might be to get as far away as possible from the temptation of adultery, but it might be something else. Whatever it is, God's wisdom is to be pursued with the strength that Jesus gives us, with shame forgotten for past failings and a hope for the future. So it'd be great if you could come over the next few weeks on this summer expedition through Proverbs. And we're going to be learning things like Speaking truth, cultivating compassion, forging strong families, and managing anger. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to use Proverbs 8. There's so much good stuff in Proverbs 1 to 9. I've given you a lot. There's a lot more I could have given you, and I just love this chapter 8. So I'm going to pray just a few of the words in chapter 8 before Adam comes and leads us in our final song. Let's pray. Father God, help us to hear the call of wisdom just in the everyday, all ordinary things of life, where we come to a crossroads and we could choose a way. Help us to choose wisdom by the strength of your Spirit. Help us to set our hearts on you. Help us to speak what is right and what is true. Help us to choose your instruction instead of silver, and your knowledge rather than choice gold. For we know that your wisdom is precious. Father, you say that wisdom loves those who love wisdom, and those who seek wisdom find it. Father, help us to find it just in the humdrum, in the ordinary, in the extraordinary. Thank you that we don't have to do this on our own. Thank you for the miracle of your Spirit that opens our eyes to your amazing creation. Help us to walk in the way of righteousness along the paths of justice. And we pray these in Jesus' name. Amen.